Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, it's Thursday. Here we are back together again. I've invited my friend Tom Shattuck to jump in here and do the first hour so we can bang around some issues. Thomas Shattuck from the Lowell Sun newspaper. What's going on, sir?
There's a cyclone, I believe, hovering overhead right now, Todd.
Is there really? You can see it right over your head? Are you in the center of that curly spinning thing?
It's funny. I can hear the rumbling, and I can hear water running somewhere in the house where there is no sink. So we'll see how that ends up.
Oh, this is a bad sign, huh?
Well.
But you've spent so much money making the house perfect, I can't anticipate there'd be any problems.
Right, yeah, no. There have been problems throughout the entire thing. But you know what? It's only a dwelling, after all, Todd. It's only a dwelling.
There you go.
We're about to step into a Great Depression anyway, and it's a great equalizer.
So this storm might create another Great Depression, is what
right.
You're saying. I love it. All right, so the world continues to swirl just like that. What kind of storm did you say that was overhead? Typhoon?
Cyclone.
What is a cyclone exactly? Do you know?
It's a cyclonic aquifer. It's a, I don't know what it is, Todd, to be honest. I don't know.
A cyclonic aquifer. That was beautiful.
Uh-oh, the lights just blinked.
Cyclone, definition. I'm looking it up because I like to know what these terms mean.
I think it's a cyclone is a hurricane over the water. Is that right?
A system of winds rotating inward to an area of low atmospheric pressure with a counterclockwise northern hemisphere circulation. And it's also called a depression. That's the alternative thing. A large-scale air mass that rotates around a strong center of low atmospheric pressure. You should have known that, Tom.
I know. That's a good point.
What's a typhoon, then?
A typhoon?
Typhoon probably rotates around a high pressure.
Maybe. You were the one who spent all those years in the helicopter.
Oh, that was just a couple of years doing traffic. I wasn't doing weather. A typhoon is a tropical storm in the region of the Indian or Western Pacific Oceans. Imagine that. It's the same thing. They've got their own different word for it. You can't trust people.
You can't trust
anyway,
people.
Anyway, let's talk a little politics. There's, well, every time I see the mayor of Portland on television, Portland, Oregon, tell me if you've had this experience. He's complaining about federal troops as if there are no problems on the West Coast, but for one person apparently who got picked up off the street by these federal marshals. Is that your take on the situation?
Right. Well, yes. And I love the mayor of Portland. Ted Wheeler is his name. And he went in yesterday or 2 days ago into the midst of the chaos to engage in listening sessions with the Antifa terrorists and the other nihilistic mob members. And essentially they shouted him down and then gave him a list of demands, one of which, of course, was defunding the police, the other of which was for him to resign. So, you know, it just goes... It always goes well when you try to negotiate with these monsters who are, lighting federal buildings on fire. And then it's great what they do now. So they light the federal buildings on fire, and they it's almost a Benghazi-style attack. And then they, attack the windows and try to breach the front door. Then when the police run out a side door to engage them, then they pelt the police with bricks and shoot fire rockets at them, illuminations, fireworks, but big missile fireworks at them, and essentially try to kill the cops is what happens. And then, we've had the best thing is you've got these Democratic politicians, of course, then saying that, yeah, these are shock troops sent in by Donald Trump. You know, Nancy Pelosi puts out a statement that said, "We are again reminded of the immense power of peaceful protests in the fight of racial injustice and police brutality after Representative John Lewis died." And then she segues to, "The Trump administration shows its lack of respect for the dignity of First Amendment rights of all Americans. Now, videos show federal officers kidnapping protesters in unmarked cars, all with the goal of inflaming tensions for their own gain." And it's crazy because, I mean, obviously what she's saying is toxic and inaccurate and, you know, just folly. But people are complaining, and the media is picking this stuff up and complaining that these guys don't have their names on their uniforms. As if that's...
Well, they're not... Hang on a second. It's not just that the media is picking it up. They only tell the story in the way you just described. There is only one way. As a matter of fact, the only story there is to report is that this abuse from the federal government is going on. And it's suddenly the left is scared of a strong federal government throwing its weight around.
Right, right. And these are the same, you know, rooters for Waco and Ruby Ridge and all that stuff. They usually love the federal government to be interceding in situations like this. You're right, yes, they're making it seem, you know, like this is Kent State after Kent State happening here. And the complaints are funny because there is some video showing guys running out of Dodge Caravans unmarked and grabbing people and arresting them. But the reason they're using unmarked cars is because these rioters...
So they don't get pelted.
They're targeting police cars. They're burning police cars, you know, by the dozen. And meanwhile, the media and politicians are applauding them for being freedom fighters. And they don't have name tags on because they don't want to get doxxed by these absolute losers who are doing this stuff. And it's the police, the feds have every right to be in there. They have every right to be in
but
there.
But you would agree they should identify themselves and they should have some kind of identification, even if it's a number. They should identified.
It says police or something on there on the uniforms. Why does it? I don't know why it matters.
Well, I don't know.
You're committing arson. I don't know why the attire of the person who's apprehending you really matters. One side.
Well, because the government is usually a negative force in our lives. Would you not agree? And
yes.
I don't think in the one instance, which is policing, where the government gets to use physical force on us, I don't see why that should suddenly be the place where we ease up on our principles.
Well, if somebody comes out of an unmarked Dodge Caravan with a very generic uniform that just says law enforcement and apprehends me as I'm mowing my lawn, I understand that would be concerning to me. That's how that was done, and he was not properly identified. If in an environment where law enforcement, the very presence of them and their symbols are being attacked and sometimes killed, no, I don't blame the cops for engaging these terrorists in the manner they are. That's, you know, kind of under the radar. I don't blame them. I want them to apprehend these thugs. And I want them.
Well, I want them to do all those things. I just want them to bend over backwards to acknowledge and recognize the protocols of the civil rights of the citizens of the country and make sure that they're behaving in an honorable way. That's all I'm saying. I don't think it's necessary for us to be 100%. This is not a binary thing. Just like with police. You know, police don't have to be bad for there to be a problem inside the system that needs to be repaired. We can be pro-cop, and we can also be pro-fixing the corrupt system that protects bad cops. And I don't see why we can't add that nuance to the conversation.
I think that you're just trying to give a nod to Nick Gillespie to make sure your libertarian bona fides are in order. I do not think it matters in this case, dealing with these punks in this mob, what kind of flair the law enforcement officers wear. And I'm like, I don't think it should be a priority. I think that it's nitpicking.
Well, I agree it's not a priority. And it should not be the feature of the story.
Right. I mean, the fact is, and because everything that can possibly be seen as pro-Trump, you know, must not be acknowledged as existing, the fact is, what's happening in Portland is incredible. What happened in Seattle was incredible. What's happening across cities in the United States is incredible. There are crime waves, at some places up to 300 and 400%. Violent crimes have absolutely skyrocketed. And we're like getting
it is amazing.
By anchors on MSNBC and CNN saying, oh, the crime wave, oh. You know, they're joking about this stuff. Meanwhile, this was the year I was told the Black Lives Matter and the black communities are being ravaged by criminals. It's crazy. It's funny.
It is. All right, let's talk about that when we continue. Hold on one sec. Tom Shattuck is here. He's from the Lowell Sun newspaper in Massachusetts. He's a radio host and editor, and we will talk more about it. I want to give you two ways to join the conversation. You can call right now and jump on the air with us at the usual number, 860-522-9842. You can call the rant line and give your opinion on these issues. How do you feel about the federal marshals? How do you feel about the immunity for cops right now, today? This is under consideration at the state capitol to take away the immunity for police officers to not be sued if they use force inappropriately. Give your opinion, please, on the rant line, 860-751-4698, 751-4698. We'll take a quick break. Take some phone calls, if you like, on WTIC. WTIC, Tom Shattuck is here, my old radio friend. Thomas, you mind if we take some phone calls?
Please, let's do.
860-522-9842, John Kensington. Hi, John.
Hi. I'm 99.44 supporter of the police, but I'll tell you to nuance it, something that they should not be allowed to do against U.S. citizens, and that is using rubber bullets. They should be banned because a rubber bullet is not fired at an individual. So it's not a weapon where you identify someone that you want to, you know, inflict some pain or, you know, harm like a regular gun or a stun gun, but you shoot it down and it bounces off the ground into the crowd and indiscriminately hits, you know, and sometimes innocent bystanders, people going by that are not part of the protest, maybe reporters, journalists, but it shouldn't be used. And they are, they'll not.
A rubber bullet is designed to be fired down into the ground and to bounce indiscriminately? That's the intention of how to use it?
Absolutely. The English used them on the Irish for years. Yep, 100%.
So if you take away the rubber bullets, then what do you use?
Well, I don't know whether you use you know, policemen on horseback, or you use water guns, or you use tear gas. I don't know what you use, but you shouldn't, depending on the crowd. You know what I mean? It's always easier to turn up the heat than turn it down. One thing absolutely they should not be able to use is rubber bullets.
All right, John, thank you for making the point. Good to hear from you. How about, I read years ago that they were going to start using noise, you know, sort of a targeted sound that they could focus on specific spots with untenable amounts of noise so that people would just fall to the ground in pain. Have you ever heard about that?
I have, and I don't recall where I first heard it, but yes.
Like, I don't understand why we have to be firing crazy things that could go into people's eyes when you can just cripple them with noise.
I don't know. Maybe it's not that effective, that the noise machine.
I find that hard to believe.
Or actually, I guess
because the story they were going to use them in Iraq. That was, I think, what I read about. When you remember how they used to have to go through these villages door by door and going in and finding out who was in there is a dangerous thing.
Right.
And it seemed to me that if they could just spray noise all over, like maybe some really loud rap music and route people out of their homes, that it would save a lot of lives. Just a thought. 860-522-9842. Jim in Glastonbury. Hello, Jim.
Good afternoon, Todd. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a couple of points on Black Lives Matter, the group. Two major issues that I have with them. One is, if Black Lives Matter, why don't they try to defund Planned Parenthood? Where in 2018, there was a Wall Street Journal article about more black babies being aborted than born. Mm-hmm. That should be pretty disturbing. Second is, if you go on Black Lives Matter website, click the donate button and follow the path down the rabbit hole to see where the money goes. It goes to Democrat presidential candidates. It goes to the ACLU. There's a long list of who benefits from the money. It doesn't go to helping black communities in any way, shape, or form.
Well, yeah. I think that last point, the last part of that's really an important one. Tom, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, no, I agree, Jim. It's a great point. You know, they have taken mentions of Margaret Sanger off of Planned Parenthood literature and signage in the last couple of days, I believe. But, I mean, she was the origins of the business certainly should be held to account, I believe, because she was a eugenics believer and a vile, vile racist. She scientifically fit the definition of racist. And, I mean, if all things were equal, that's certainly symbolic enough to be toppled. If Frederick Douglass's statue has to be toppled, then I would say that Margaret Sanger's statue would have to be toppled. But the moment you mention abortion, certainly in any coastal elite city, people would consider that gauche and beyond the pale of being fit for conversation, unfortunately. But yeah, no, I completely agree with you. And the Black Lives Matter thing, this is a huge umbrella group, and they're an activist group like any other, and they're now worldwide, and they've certainly gotten they've gotten so much money now that they're having to backfill what their actual mission statement is, because they're not even sure anymore. This is like you finding oil in your backyard. You got a lot of thinking about to do now. You know, suddenly knowing that all this stuff's going to come in. But yeah,
it's about the clever naming of a movement and the amount of power they've extracted out of their name being a statement that nobody can dispute has caused a river of power to flow in their direction. Yeah. Nevertheless, though, they've got their problems on their hands, and mm-hmm. we're hearing suggestions of an arc of movement going on here with these movements of how people perceive them, and that started off with a real positive, and mm-hmm. it's going to get less positive, it seems, as time goes on. Let's talk more about it after we get a news update. Tom Shattuck is here from Massachusetts doing this hour with us. Join in, 860-522-9842. Call the Rant Line, too, 860-751-4698. And stay with us on WTIC. WTIC, my friend Tom Shattuck is here, radio guy, newspaper editor, senior editor at the Lowell Sun. And we're chatting about these big issues that continue to swing back and forth and roil the country. I hadn't realized this, but yeah, New York's Planned Parenthood is removing Margaret Sanger's name.
Right.
From the because of eugenics, her support of eugenics, which is the idea, I think, of that you can craft better human beings by tweaking genetic makeups, and kind of scary ideas from the past.
You're right, and unlike various symbols that are anodyne and mean nothing, that is legitimate racism. That is a belief in a master race and the idea that other races are lesser. And so, that's the real thing right there. She was a vile, vile person. The other point about Planned Parenthood and aborting black children, that's true, but that's not going to win any, change any minds, I don't think. You know, that's a different end of day's battle to be had, that particular one.
But, you mean because of the overlap with just the abortion debate?
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. But also, who knows what cottage industry, debates this entire, de-evolution that's happening this year is having. But it is interesting that in the year that Black Lives Matter, that this movement, that this great awakening has hit its fruition, has come to fruition, and more people are woke than ever, and you've got people in suburbs who are taking a knee and doing in the Black Power symbol. In the year now when we're all, finally coming together and seeing the writing on the wall, this is the worst worst year for Black Americans probably since 1968. You know, the unemployment has absolutely, you know, skyrocketed. You know, they've been the pandemic has hit them harder, and the crime waves in cities here it's causing. There's another wave of white flight happening now out of places. People want to get the hell out of cities and away from, you know, these impromptu firework displays and open season looting of retail shops. I mean, this has been a terrible year for Black Americans, and that's just terrible. But by next year, everybody will have moved along. And in these white suburbs, all of the Facebook posts with them doing the Black Lives Matter things will be, you have to scroll way down to see them. They'll be onto something else.
Those will be nostalgia.
Exactly. Look what a good person I was last year. Now let's go, you know, to Nantucket and go sailing, you know.
Well, I mean, basically that's what happens, is what you're saying. There's a pattern to these things, and everybody gets enraged and embroiled and around a particular issue, and then it blows out to sea and something else takes over. But this one is threatening to be a bigger explosion than the average issue, wouldn't you say?
Well, yes. Yes, because we're moving past just symbolism. You know, what we're doing is ratcheting down the police in cities, and you're essentially banning more speech than ever this year, which is crazy. And we're less free this year suddenly than we have been in quite a while. You know, you've got, as if it's just clockwork, 2 days ago in Chicago at a funeral, somebody sprayed the crowd of funeral goers, 14 people are shot. And on the mayor's mind is that Donald Trump better not send federal troops to help save these Black lives. It's like, this is craziness. This is craziness.
It's how they do issues, right? It's deflecting, it making people's lives into a game of tennis and being able to hit a volley that is hard for the other side to return, when in fact those things have nothing to do with each other, right?
Yeah, but it would be nice if, in the Black Lives Matter revolution, at some point, literal Black Lives mattered. You know, it would add, I think, a little value to the currency of the movement if it was to be taken literally, other than just the spirit of wokeness that it's to be taken as. I mean, this is obscene what's happening here. It's obscene.
But also what's obscene is the fact of the matter. I mean, maybe this is what you're saying, that if you look at life in urban America today, there is struggle going on, as there has been for years. There is not you can't look at a straight line of improvement. You can't look at schools getting better. You can't look at the problem with policing getting better. You can't look at an influx of affluence or a regeneration going on in urban communities. And all of that is driven, it seems to me, by the commitment, the emotional connection that Black voters feel to the Democratic Party. And that emotional connection transcends anything that's going on in reality. When bad things happen, they shrug their shoulders and say, oh, but they're our friends, talking about the Democrats. And until they are willing to vote differently, they're giving up having control over things like making police be more gentle with them in certain situations, which is what they're after. If they want kinder, gentler police, they're not going to get them until they withdraw votes from Democrats who oversee the way things are, who made it this way, who want it this way, who keep it this way. And if you sit there looking at their responses, the Democrats' responses, the legislation they propose with fixes, if you go along with that, you're just going to get scammed again, and the problem keeps going on in perpetuity.
Well, I understand that, and I think there's a lot of truth to that, but isn't there some culpability on the part of Republicans for not making incursions into those communities in trying to, you know, sow, you know, green sproutlets of a relationship in those communities? I think that the Republicans in many areas have just said, this is a lost cause. I'm not going. There's no use. Our brand is just too bad, too awful in that in those neighborhoods. But I think that what we've seen with the Trump administration here is a blatant outreach. When he was running and said, what the hell do you have to lose? To, you know, he's been very vocal about historic black colleges. He's launched with Candace Owens and these other young black conservatives more outreach than we've seen Republicans do in quite some time. And so that's good on him. And I think we need to be doing more of this stuff. It has
absolutely.
To be normalized.
There's no question.
You can't.
I don't blame Republicans. I don't think it's Republicans' responsibility to step into a zone where the Democrats are lobbing the political equivalent to stink bombs at them or worse, you know, calling people racist for trying to have a conversation. And the community from which those accusations are coming going along with that, I think everybody's culpable in that. But it's a missed opportunity for Republicans and ones they can't a missed opportunity they can't afford to allow to continue because they have to start peeling some of those votes away. That's the bad news that they haven't. The good news is there has not been an argument. There has not been a political debate. It's been so one-sided. And Republicans don't have to win the city. They just have to start winning some votes there. And that will put pressure on Democrats to stop being irresponsible and so destructive to the lives of poor people.
How will they win votes there if voters in the community are considered apostates if they change voter registration, if they sign up?
Because not everybody is so easily intimidated. And by the way, you can make a compelling argument. I have yet to see a candidate for president or a governor on the Republican side running a TV commercial in which the candidate is walking through a horrible rundown school saying you deserve better.
Yeah, well,
your
that's kind
kids
of a
deserve to be safe when they leave the house. Yeah, but how about some grassroots street level campaigning? Make an effort to reach out and see what you can do. There is so much in the world of what they would call white supremacy, that is the clubs where average Americans take their kids to play golf or to swim in the summer. There is life going on that needs to be injected into the city. There are jobs that people have because of the neighborhoods they live in. There are schools their kids can go to because of where they live. Why is it that these communities are allowed to sit in perpetuity with the worst schools, with the worst economic opportunity? So what I'm saying is people can start going in, yes, Republicans, Democrats alike can start going in and say, let's connect companies to areas where there's opportunity for maybe there's old warehouses that can be renovated and people can locate headquarters at lower cost. Maybe there are workers who can be trained. There is a huge swath of opportunity there to affect a new generation with a new way of living life and a better life. And everybody's got to get on the ball. I don't think it belongs in anyone's hands. I'm with you on that. Everybody's got to do a better job for urban America.
Yeah. You know, another challenge is, of course, is the race baiting business is a fruitful business. And there have been people who have been enjoying the benefits of it for decades and decades.
Mm.
And they can't. And just think, with Black Lives Matter, somehow the titular head of Black Lives Matter is 70-year-old Al Sharpton, and he didn't even create
yeah.
it.
Yeah, how did
But
he doesn't even do good for people.
No, he does good for Al Sharpton. He knows how the game is played.
Exactly.
He knows how the shakedown is done. It's incredible. So and of course he's got a TV show somewhere. This is a guy who went to the White House in the last administration over 100 times. Just think of the influence that some of these actors, these vile actors, have, who are creating and cultivating the divisions, you know, that it takes to make sure that the community, you know, considers Republicans white supremacists, which is now just no word for race.
I like what you're saying about this whole idea of that industry, or the race baiting industry, that's the real destructive force. If the game of the race divide is just about peeling votes away, if it's just about the most base sort of desire for political power, and it's only done in a manipulative, destructive way, then that's the real ugly force. That's the thing we have to get rid of, because nothing can move on, nobody can move on, if that disease is in control of the political narrative.
Yeah, we've got a place up here in Boston, there's a woman who runs an activist organization called Violence in Boston. And she, this is how it works. You know, a guy around here who runs a drive-in movie theater, he complained on social media about the riots and said these rioters should be arrested. You know, that's all he did. And he was essentially canceled. And this woman who runs this in the black community, runs this this organization, said, your apology, because the guy had to apologize right before he was socially executed. She said, your apology is not good enough. If you really want to put, you know, really want to show the contrition, then write a check to my organization. And that she did this boldly on Facebook. I was just looking at it because I've just sent it over to the Boston Herald. And it's incredible. The shakedown is real and direct by some of these folks. And for the community, I'm sure that that her organization actually does some good things for the community. I think they feed people and this and that. But mm-hmm. outward facing, and certainly to white people, it is an extortionist organization. So these things have taken this hybrid form, these organizations,
yes.
From Sharpton to this person up in Boston, and these are popping up all over the place. So this actually, the mayor of Boston gave her office space for her company to expand in.
Yeah, there's a lot of ugliness going on, and ultimately, the people who have to decide this are those urban voters who are trying to deal with these issues. And so at some point, they have to notice it doesn't get better if you keep doing the same thing. Tom Shattuck is here. We'll talk more. Let's talk some qualified immunity when we continue with Tom Shattuck on WTIC. Yeah, it's WTIC. Give us a phone call, 860-522-9842. Tom Shattuck is here. We're talking qualified immunity and other issues. That is the idea that police and other government officials be protected from civil lawsuits for mistakes, malfeasance they might commit on the job. This is a hot issue right now because this is viewed by some as the mechanism to be used to rein in police behavior in response to the Black Lives Matter movement. Tom, what's going on with this in stories you've seen, Massachusetts, elsewhere around the country?
So in Massachusetts, the Senate drafted a bill which included essentially the end of qualified immunity for law enforcement. And in the deliberations, they did not include law enforcement advocacy, and the police chiefs in Massachusetts have gotten together and have had several very visible demonstrations. We at the Lowell Sun have been inundated with phone calls and letters in support of the police saying that this is ridiculous, that they've been kept out of the legislative process. But we've got a super, super liberal, progressive state Senate, and obviously a liberal House as well, but the state Senate now is beyond the pale.
Doesn't this create a real danger for Democrats?
Well, with dealing with police unions?
Well, just to face having this split, for them to shut out the police from a process of legislation mm-hmm. regarding police in order to totally sell out in favor of Black Lives Matter. That you're talking about powerful political forces who they're alienating.
Yes, and it's also disgusting. No, to not at all.
Well, that's so, who, yes.
Yes. No, there is, and I don't understand exactly, unless somehow this can be, you can wink to the police unions and suggest that communities will still be, you know, dishing out the overtime or whatever it is, it's horrible. It completely undermines them. And I think you would mention last time that, like, Hartford and Boston have not had the widespread rioting, et cetera, that other cities have. So essentially in Boston, we're essentially done with the violent part of that. Nobody's lighting anything on fire at the moment.
But that doesn't mean the movement isn't there looking for change. Let me just grab a phone call here, Tom. Stephen, you're on WTIC with Todd Feinberg, and Tom Shattuck is here as well. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Todd. I got a question for you. Now, it's a little off kilter from what you're discussing, but I think it fits all the issues. As human beings, we're not going to be able to adapt to whatever the crisis or situation is if we can't learn. And we can't learn if we can't remember. See, the problem is our society is being burned into its memory all the terrible things that have been done over the years in the name of whatever. The blacks have been abused. The women have been abused. Every day we hear how everybody's been abused. But there's no memory of the good things anymore. So we're being taken over by unlearning or lies. Or I just can't explain it in a way that maybe is articulate. But the battle's being won by people who keep bringing up the past and only the bad past. So,
well, yes, they're trying to rewrite history. But, Stephen, I'm going to hold you right there because we're short on time, but I thank you for raising the issue because this is about what the truth is. And the truth is the past may have bad in it, but that's the context of the past. And the purpose of America, this is the vehicle we're riding, and people have been riding for hundreds of years to a better land, to a better world. And that this is the thing that delivers it. And that, to me, is the crux of the issue regarding how we carry forward, is are the bad guys going to be able to rewrite America into a bad thing, into a force for good? Tom, you've got like 15 seconds to wrap it up.
Well, you said they're trying to rewrite history. I would say that they are rewriting history as we speak. And we need to not be afraid to take a stand and say, no, I'm not opting into the canard. I'm not opting into this cultural and social unraveling. You know, we are a flawed but good people, and we've had just about enough of this stuff.
Tom Shattuck, Lowell Sun, thank you, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.